Westminster Confession, chapter 12. All those that are justified, God vouchsafeth in and for his only Son, Jesus Christ, to make partakers of the grace of adoption, by which they are taken into the number and enjoy the liberties and privileges of the children of God, have his name put upon them, receive the spirit of adoption, have access to the throne of grace with boldness, are enabled to cry, Abba, Father, are pitied, protected, provided for, and chastened by him as a father, yet never cast off, but sealed to the day of redemption, and inherit the promises as heirs of everlasting salvation. So we take the first part this morning up to where it says, and privileges of the children of God. The first thing is, the justified are also adopted. The justified are also adopted. We are predestinated to be adopted as well as justified. Ephesians 1:5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So those who are predestinated to be redeemed through the blood of Christ, as verse 7 indicates, are also predestinated unto the adoption of children. Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So, in the fullness of time, Christ came as the Redeemer, and he came to bestow not only the blessing of forgiveness and justification, but of adoption. We are adopted through Christ. The confession says, in and for his only Son, Jesus Christ. Chapter 12 of the confession. In and for his only Son, Jesus Christ. Romans 8, verse 17. Romans 8, 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So we are adopted through Jesus Christ. It is through his redeeming work that we become joint heirs of God with him. In John chapter 1 and verse 12, John chapter 1 and verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The word power, you'll see the margin says right or privilege. It's not so much, it's not the new birth makes us, begins to make us conformed to the image of God. But here it's the right and privilege of adoption that is in view. That those who believe are given the rights, the privileges of the children of God. John chapter 20 and verse 17. John chapter 20 and verse 17. Jesus saith unto her, that's Mary, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. There Christ distinguishes between the kind of sonship in view. He says, your father, my father and your father. But nevertheless, it is through him that we become the children of God. So, those who are justified are also adopted. In Romans 8, dealing with the blessings that flow from justification, what else happens with respect to those who are justified? We find that the blessing of sanctification is mentioned. We find that the blessing of adoption is mentioned. We find the blessing of glorification is mentioned. All of these blessings flow from being justified by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So adoption is a blessing purchased by Christ for his people, no less than justification. Only those who are justified are adopted, but those who are justified are invariably adopted. And there can be no adoption without justification, the removal of guilt, and there can be neither without the atonement of our Lord Jesus Christ. So adoption is distinct from justification, but always accompanies it. Secondly, adoption is an act of transfer from an alien family into the family of God himself. Adoption is an act of transfer from an alien family into the family of God himself. We are not all children of God by nature. Since, you know, it's commonplace for liberal churchmen and so on to speak of the whole of mankind as the children of God. Since the fall, our relationship as a creature to our Creator does not belong, is not that of children to a father as it did in Adam before the fall. Remember in Luke chapter 3, that great genealogy, Luke chapter 3, and the last verse, verse 38, says, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. And Adam, by creation, enjoyed the communion with God, the friendship of God. But after the fall, this is not so. Genesis 3, verse 8 to 10. Genesis 3, verse 8 to 10. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. There was a fear, a terror of God that had not been there before, that is inconsistent with the father-child relationship. God as Father in Scripture is usually used in the sense of those who are adopted by grace through Jesus Christ. They were all created by him, and of course all men are created by God. They are preserved by God. That's why 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 10 speaks of God being the Saviour of all men, especially them that believe. It refers to his preserving of men, his delivering them, his keeping them in this world for as long as he pleases. And in that sense, God is their saviour, their preserver. But morally and spiritually, men by nature are children of the devil. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10. 1 John 3 and verse 10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So there's a clear distinction there between the children of God and the children of the devil. We may compare the Gospel of John, chapter 8, John chapter 8 and verse 35. John 8 verse 35. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. There Christ is very emphatic, blunt, and direct, and tells them their works show them to be of their father, the devil. In Ephesians 2:3, unbelievers are called children of wrath. In Colossians 3:6, they are called the children of disobedience. So unbelievers are children of the devil, of wrath, of disobedience. 1 John 3, verse 1 and 2, by contrast, 1 John 3, Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now are we the sons of God. Ephesians 3 and verse 14 and 15. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The whole family of the people of God. It's not talking about mankind in general. So adoption is an act of transfer from an alien family into the family of God himself. Thirdly, we are Christ's brethren. We are Christ's brethren. The distinction between Christ, the Son by nature, and the adopted children is maintained throughout Scripture. Yet in Christ, as we've seen, we are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. It's in Christ that His God is our God, and his Father is our Father. And he calls us his brethren, his brethren. Matthew 12, verse 47. Matthew 12, verse 47. Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, Who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Matthew 28, verse 10. Matthew 28, verse 10. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. And you have the same thing in the verses we read from John's Gospel. Then Romans 8 and verse 29. Romans 8 and verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So Christ is the firstborn. He is the Redeemer, and the redeemed are his brethren. And then in Hebrews chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10 to 12, Hebrews 2, verse 10, For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. So there David, praising the Lord in the church of his day, was pointing to Christ, who shows the praises of the Lord to all his people in all generations. And he calls them his brethren. And he will own us as such at the great day of God. He will acknowledge us as his brethren. We look at the privileges of adoption next week, God willing. But we ought to admire the grace of God that we, who by nature are children of the devil, children of wrath, children of disobedience, that we should be adopted, translated, from the power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, and that we should be called the brethren of our Lord Jesus Christ, seeking a better country, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called our God. It is an immense privilege, and one that we do not adequately dwell upon, that we should be called the sons of God.